Good morning. It is time to get up with a quarterback sneak. McShay's McBoard is in, and wait till you see the first four picks. That's right off the top. Meanwhile, the veteran QBs are also on the move, and these decisions will have everything to do with those. We've got it covered from every possible angle. Plus, wait a minute. What did Russell just say? Is he talking about getting traded from Seattle? The wildest ride in NFL history continues as we get up with you, starting right now on a wonderful Wednesday, and so much to get to and exactly the right people to get to it with. Dominique Foxworth is fired up today. Mike T is wheeling and dealing. Dan Graziano has all the inside. And I can honestly say, I've never been this happy to welcome Ryan Clark to another morning of Get Up. As we get this thing rolling on a Wednesday, here we go. Todd McShay's post-Super Bowl mock draft is out and available on ESPN+, and he has four quarterbacks with the first four picks. No surprise at number one, Trevor Lawrence going to the Jaguars. We all know that's coming. The next quarterback off the board, maybe a little bit of a surprise. BYU Zach Wilson going number two to the Jets. He was spectacular last year at BYU. All the talk right now is about him. At number three overall, McShay has the Panthers moving up from eight in a trade with the Dolphins to take North Dakota State's Trey Lance as their quarterback of the future. And then at four to the Falcons, Ohio State's Justin Fields, who finished with the second highest total QBR in the entire country this year, had some great moments and some that were not as great. So let's bring in the crew to talk about this. And Mike T, we'll start with you as far as the evaluation, because I know you've been looking at these quarterbacks already. The way he has them in order right now would be Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, and then Mac Jones, his five quarterbacks in round one. Is that the order that you would see them going if you were making the picks?
I don't. I would certainly start with Trevor Lawrence, number one. No discussion there. Number two, reluctantly, I got to agree with my guy, Todd McShay, which is I would take Zach Wilson. Some concerns about durability that we'll get into. My next quarterback, though, is Mac Jones. If this was a race, he's coming around that last turn, Greeny. He is closing really fast. I think he goes three, then Justin Fields, and then Trey Lance, who only played one game in college this year. So I see it differently than Todd, and we have a couple months here to get it sorted out.
Yeah, that is going to be a lot of the conversation here is in what order these guys go. And I agree with you. Coming off the Senior Bowl performance, that guy, Mac Jones, was all the talk of so many people. So let me go to you, Graziano, because it is a foregone conclusion that Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one to Jacksonville. I don't think anyone doubts that.
Yes.
So the expression goes the draft starts at number two. Todd is projecting the Jets will take a quarterback, which would suggest they're going to trade away Sam Darnold. What are you hearing coming out of the Jets?
What we've been hearing with the Jets for months is that they'll either, you know, since the order was set, they'll either trade the pick and keep Darnold, or they'll trade Darnold and keep the pick and take a quarterback. The latter seems more likely now. If you'd asked a month ago, it probably would have been the former. And to Mike's point, these things do change over the next couple of months. But right now, it seems the chatter seems to indicate that Darnold's available in trade, which would seem to indicate that the Jets are interested in taking a quarterback number two. The wild card, of course, is if the Jets trade for Deshaun Watson, but we've talked about that. That's for down the road. Right now, it looks like number two would be a quarterback, and Zach Wilson is a guy whose name you hear a lot, connected to more than one team in that top four. And I think at this point, arrow points toward him as the number two quarterback taken, possibly the number two player taken overall. Certainly, if you see Sam Darnold traded, that would be a strong indication that the Jets are going quarterback at number two.
All right. And so, Ryan Clark, I know that you have started looking at Zach Wilson based upon something that you heard here on this show, I believe. And I know you've been impressed with what you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, David Pollack came on this show and he started throwing out names like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, man, Dave is tripping. He need to start eating some carbs. You know, dude ain't had carbs in 6 years, and sometimes that can mess with your head. And so now when I'm looking at this draft, and you got four quarterbacks going at the top. We didn't see that in 04. We didn't see three go at the top. And those dudes, Eli, Rivers, Roethlisberger, might be Hall of Famers. When we think about Dan Marino, Jim Kelly in that draft, John Elway, those guys didn't go four at the top. So now I'm really starting to think about it. If this was the four horsemen in the WWE, Trevor Lawrence wouldn't be Ric Flair. It would be Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is that dude. And so I start to watch some of the things, some of the off-balance throws. You see some of the arm talent while he's moving up in the pocket. He's getting outside and throwing back across his body. And now you start to see some of that Patrick Mahomes, some of that Aaron Rodgers stuff. And I say to myself, nobody's going to wait till 10 this time. They're not going to trade up if you're Kansas City. Nobody's going to wait till the mid-20s the way that the Green Bay Packers did for Aaron Rodgers. So it doesn't matter that he went to BYU. I don't think it matters that he has some injury concerns, because when you watch this dude play, you understand that he makes plays that other guys in college can't. And that's including Trevor Lawrence. There's a play from this season that Daniel Jeremiah posted where he steps up into the pocket. He throws in the double coverage, and the football hits his wide receiver in the face mask. Doesn't that remind you of a dude that just put on a show, even though he was under siege from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line? Zach Wilson is that dude, and I think he will go number two.
You make a really interesting point. He may go number two because teams are afraid of missing out on him because he shows those flashes of being so spectacular. So Dominique Foxworth jumps in with us as well. What do you think of this? Four quarterbacks going off the top of the draft. How would you see it if that's what comes to pass?
I mean, I love quarterbacks as much as the next guy, and I understand how valuable they are. But I think the lesson that we should have learned from the Super Bowl is not that you might be able to find Patrick Mahomes. It's that you better protect your quarterback no matter who it is. So Penei Sewell from Oregon, he's a can't-miss prospect. Quarterbacks are coin tosses, like, to be frank, and that's being generous. Like, no matter how good your numbers are, no matter how many measurables you have and how effectively you you use your offense in college, so many of those guys coming in the league and fail. You know who's not going to miss? That dude right there, because everything that he is doing in these games are things that he can do in the NFL. And we saw a lot of rookie tackles last year come out and be great, frankly, and have immediate impacts. And we even saw that with Tampa Bay. So that's the thing I'm looking at. Any quarterback or any team who wants to build a roster, if you are really certain about this quarterback, fine. But chances are you're going to miss. But you won't miss on this particular tackle. He will make your team better, your quarterback better, right off the bat. Why are you moving them hands down there, Tannenbaum? You know I'm right. Keep your hands still, man.
The tackle may be the shortest bet in this draft, including Trevor Lawrence. Go ahead, Mike Tannenbaum.
Here's, when you talk to teams around the league, here's the concern that teams have. In next year's draft, maybe there's one quarterback in the first round, Keaton Slaughter of USC. So if you're a team like the Atlanta Falcons who needs a quarterback, not necessarily this year, but next year, this is the year to get him, and that's why we're going to see so many quarterbacks going early. I love tackles like you do, but when you look at supply and demand over the next 2 years, teams like Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Atlanta may use this draft to get next year's quarterback.
It's an important point. I could talk about this forever, and we will have much more on it, and McShay will join us live coming up a little later as well. In total, he has five quarterbacks, as I mentioned, going in the first round, including Mac Jones going 12 to the Bears in what would be another trade scenario. But let's get to the other huge story of the day from football. Russell Wilson had an awful lot to say in the last 24 hours, including while he was a guest on the Dan Patrick Show. He was asked if he assumes teams are calling the Seahawks to inquire about trading for him. And this is what he said.
Yeah, I definitely believe they've gotten calls for sure. I think that, I think anytime you're, a player that, tries to produce every week and has done it for, consistently, I think people are going to call for sure. And I think it's part of the process. I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question. But I think more than anything else is, I think at the end of the day, you want to win. You play this game every day to wake up to win.
No. Okay. Hold on. Dan Graziano, please tell me that I am not now living in a world where I have to be concerned that Russell Wilson is about to get traded. What exactly is he saying, and why is he saying it?
No, you're not now living in that world, but he's sort of cracked open the door that might lead you there eventually, right? Look, it can't happen. It can't happen this offseason. It would be a $39 million dead cap hit for the Seahawks, which is even worse than what the Eagles are about to absorb for Carson Wentz, which is going to be a record by a lot. And the acquiring team would have to pay, would get a steal, $23 million a year for 3 years for Russell Wilson. Not going to happen. The Seahawks are not going to entertain this. But that said, this is Russell Wilson. This is the ultimate good soldier. This is the guy that ends every single interview and press conference by saying, "Go Hawks." And he is now saying, "No, I'm not too thrilled about getting hit. I'd like to see the team do this and this. So you have it. Look, you guys know me. Like I'm not a cat. I'm not gonna like just paw at like the next great quarterback controversy, right? Like I'm not looking for it. But this is a guy who is letting it be known that, hey guys, if things don't get a little bit better in some certain areas, there could be an issue down the road.
I think that is an important point that he's making there, Ryan, and that is that of all the people to be saying these things, Russell Wilson is about the least likely. What does it mean?
Yeah, 100%. This is, to me, strategic. But Dan kind of buried the lead. You ask him, what is Russell Wilson saying? Here's what he's saying. Russell Wilson is saying, I know that all these women know I'm in a relationship, but I am still beautiful. Do you see this curly hair? I'm a multimillionaire. So sometimes people are going to slide into my DMs. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I am desirable, so I'm sure people are picking up the phone to see if I'm available, to see if I will step out. And Russell Wilson is saying, you know what? This year, I'm not. But maybe in the future, if you don't do right, if you don't make the changes I'm asking you to make, maybe I will be willing to force your hand then. And Russell Wilson forever has been the guy that's made a career of saying nothing, that's made sure everything that he was doing was building this good guy brand, was building this team first brand. But Russell Wilson wants to be a star. Remember how this year started? Let Russ cook. And I told you at the beginning of the year, it was about hibachi. You was getting lo mein. You was getting shrimp fried rice. You could pick your shrimp. They was flipping it in the hat and doing tricks. By the end of the year, we was eating ramen noodles and not the good ones. Russ was cooking like shrimp. Nobody eats shrimp noodles. Russ was shrimp noodles. And so he wants to be a Mahomes. He wants to be an Aaron Rodgers. He wants to be in those conversations, and he watched himself fade from those. And if they don't make the changes to get him there, I believe he'll want out of Seattle.
He'll want out of Seattle. I mean, that would be a day that I don't think any of us saw coming. Dominique, you like it or you don't like it?
I love it. And it feels like Russell kind of got jumped a little bit. It went from, like, Brady to Mahomes. And Russell, like, but what about me? And he's learned something, I think, in this offseason and through his career. He's learned that nice guys finish last in football. It may not be true, or it may be true in life in general, but in the NFL, 10, 15 years from now, when your career is over, no one's going to say, he was a really good quarterback. I really like how he was a good soldier. I really like how he never complained about the organization. No one's going to say that. They're going to say he won this many championships. He had this many MVPs. He got all pro this many times. And Russell knows that. We don't look back on John Elway and say, hey, John Elway, that's that jerk that told Baltimore he wouldn't play there. No, we say that's two-time Super Bowl champ.
Right.
We don't say, hey, Eli Manning, oh, that's that guy who forced his way into New York. We say, no, two-time Super Bowl champ, two-time Super Bowl MVP. We don't think back on Brett Favre's career about how he was wishy-washy at the end of his career about retiring and staying. We say, no, he was a championship gunslinger. All that stuff goes away if you win, and he is learning that now, that no one is going to give you any points for being a good soldier. We give you points for the numbers you put on the board, and he needs to control his destiny because it doesn't seem like they are doing what's best for him. But the one thing I would say against Russell Wilson, a lot of those sacks, they might be his fault. They might. I mean, the sacks, I know they don't have the best O-line, but he'd be out there trying to spin it and work and do a little bit extra stuff. You ask it for them hits sometimes.
That's fair. But let me ask you, RC, just to go back to what you said. You said he wants people to consider him when they mention Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And he is a great player. There's no question of that. But should he be talked about the same way those guys are?
No, not now. And I told you guys that last season. When you watch Russell Wilson, he had to go back to game manager Russ or Super Bowl Russ, the guy that was just a part of the team, the guy that made sure he made the critical football and situational plays. That's not what he started the season as. He started the season as the runaway MVP favorite. And when he finished the season, we were talking about how the Seattle Seahawks defense had come along. That's not who Russell Wilson wants to be. But right now, that's who he is.
Okay. So there's that situation there. We will see. There are so many quarterback situations to analyze in the NFL right now. Graziano, let's run through some more stuff here as we run the hurry up through other stories. What do we know about San Francisco's plans at quarterback?
Greeny, I'm keeping an eye on the 49ers as a team that could be sort of on the periphery of some of these potential quarterback acquisitions. We know Jimmy Garoppolo's contract has no more guaranteed money left on it. It would be a very minimal salary cap hit if the 49ers wanted to move on from him. So if they get involved in, say, a Deshaun Watson, a Carson Wentz, if they see it as an upgrade, wouldn't be too surprised. They could go forward with Garoppolo and be happy, but they're not out of the mix in terms of potential upgrades. The Saints, we're expecting at some point soon Drew Brees will announce his retirement. What did the Saints do at quarterback? Look, they had Jameis Winston on the roster all year. They like Jameis Winston a lot. He liked them a lot. There's a thought around the Saints that bringing Jameis Winston back and making him the starter next year might be the best option. He already knows the offense. Don't be surprised if the Saints and Jameis Winston work something out ahead of free agency to keep him there. And then, of course, look, Carson Wentz, we've been talking about all week. The Philadelphia Eagles look like they're poised to trade him. Obviously, they want to get something of value in return. This continues to drag on a little bit as no team has yet met their price. We hear the Colts interested. We hear the Bears interested. Both of those teams have coaches on their staff that have history with Wentz. The Bears just promoted John DeFilippo to passing game coordinator. Remember, he was Wentz's quarterback's coach Wentz's first 2 years in the league. So if you're looking at, hey, can we bring this guy in and fix him, the Chicago Bears might be a team that thinks the answer is yes.
Well, that's an interesting one. So let me stop down on that for a moment. And RC, let me ask you this, because the chatter, for whatever this is worth, it does sound like it's heating up with the Bears and Carson Wentz. Is that a marriage, Chicago and Carson Wentz, at this point in his life that you like?
You know what? I do like the marriage because it's telling me that Chicago has acknowledged one thing, that Matt Nagy is not the dude to develop a quarterback. And then Carson Wentz has this in his pocket. In 2017, he was probably the best player in football before injuring himself against the Los Angeles Rams. And now you bring him to a place that has a really good defense, that hopefully can get Allen Robinson back and have some players on the outside. Young Darnell Mooney can really go. We watched David Montgomery come along. But it's also a place where two people, whether it's the head coach or whether we're talking about Carson Wentz, two people understand it's their last chance. And they're going to do everything to work together to make it happen. We need to see Carson Wentz bring back that talent, but miss the hero ball. Bring back some of those intangibles that we love, but miss the mistakes. And maybe Chicago can be the place for that when you have a defense you know will keep you in every game.
How about you, Nick? What do you think?
I like it. I think this is a high-risk, high-reward situation. So I would be concerned. I'd be a little worried about having Carson Wentz, considering the toll that he took mentally this season. That's the more concerning part because the talent hasn't disappeared. But we have to remember that his best season, that team was loaded. Like, they had the best O-line in football and possibly the best D-line in football that year. So I think he's a guy that when you protect him and you put everyone good around him, he can surpass almost any player in this league. But if things aren't ideal, he can really tank the organization. So I think that those are the two things they should be worried about, is do they have the right guys around him, and does he have the mental makeup to endure the pressure that he's going to face in that situation? Because it's a must-win year in Chicago, and that Chicago media is not kind, as you know, Mike.
And that is why I don't like it as much as you guys do. Here's the one part of what you said, RC, that I agree with. I do not think that when you're a coach who knows you got to win right now, you want to be starting with a rookie quarterback. So going out and getting a veteran, mm-hmm. I do agree with. But I don't think they're looking for a savior. And I'm not sure that's the right role for Carson Wentz right now. For me, Carson Wentz to Indianapolis makes a lot of sense. They just need someone to come in, manage games in a dome with a coach he knows and loves well, with another great defense, a great offensive line, and all that stuff. They need a lot less out of the quarterback than Wentz does. And right now, I believe, RC, Wentz needs a place that needs less, not more.
Yeah, I believe that is too. You know, I believe that if he goes to Indianapolis, this is a place that we felt has always been just a quarterback away. And if you look, they took the Buffalo Bills to the brink in the division round of the playoffs because of some of those things they had pieced around him. But still, when you think about Carson Wentz and you think about what they need in Chicago, that's a place I believe that's willing to give up more for him. The Indianapolis coach know that they're the desirable site, not necessarily Carson Wentz. The Chicago Bears understand that they need another quarterback, and it can't be a rookie.
I get it. I totally agree. There's nothing you're saying that I'm disagreeing with. I am, however, saying, and maybe this comes from having lived there for 11 years and covered that team for a long time, That, Dominique, feels to me like the potential for a disaster waiting to happen. You say it's the last shot for both of those guys. I could see that turning out to be the last for both of them.
It's not the last shot for Carson Wentz. One thing we've learned about quarterbacks is if you show a little glimpse, you got to show a glimpse. Everybody thinks that they can make
you
better than you were.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, that's all they need. They just need a chance, and they'll convince themselves, I'm the guy that's going to get him back to great.
We will see what winds up happening. All right, again, as you can see, there is just an endless array of quarterback stories to get to. As we continue, another one. A QB is the face of your franchise. Are the Cowboys facing a future without theirs? That's coming up. Plus, the talk in Pittsburgh went from an undefeated season to a playoff flop. Should the Steelers rebuild or run it back? We'll answer that question and more. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. $1 your way, only at Burger King. All right, today we've asked each of our analysts to pick their play of the year. Mike Tannenbaum, what was your play of the year?
Oh, this is easy. This should be everyone's play of the year. Kyle Murray throwing it to DeAndre Hopkins. Do you realize, Greeny, that the Buffalo Bills won 11 of 12 games? This is the only game they lost on this play. Buffalo is having a team meeting in the end zone. We talk about having strong hands. Look at this throw and look at these hands by DeAndre Hopkins. Easily the play of the year.
Yes, somewhere Deshaun Watson is crying watching that play being made. All right, that's your play of the year. I like it. Coming up, Bill Parcells said if you want a coach to cook the meal, he should be allowed to shop for the groceries. Should quarterbacks get the same treatment? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and today's game is called Rebuild or Run It Back. Let's look at some franchises and figure out what they should do. Hey, my former Steeler, Ryan Clark, should the Steelers rebuild it or run it back?
They got to rebuild it. When you look at this offense, it's lost in identity. There's no physicality. There's no run game. And you have a quarterback that's beyond his prime. And so if you want to start looking to getting into the Super Bowl window again, you have to start from scratch. Build up front, find a quarterback of the future, and more than certainly find a running game and a premier runner.
Yeah, 11-0 this season, you saw how it wound up. Neat. Cowboys, rebuild it or run it back?
You got to run it back. I mean, you have a great quarterback. You don't damn deserve him, but you got him. And you're the only one in the division who has a real, reliable, Pro Bowl, all-pro level quarterback. So you got to run it back. You got to put together a patchwork defense and try to make this team good enough to compete while you have a quarterback. I hope he gets out of there.
We have more on Dak coming up in a few minutes, but let me get to Seattle. Mike T, Seahawks, rebuild or run it back?
I'm rebuilding the defense. When you think about the great Seahawk teams, the Legion of Boom, it was always on the defensive side of the ball. They haven't been able to rush the passer. LJ Collier, first round pick, hasn't really panned out. Bruce Irvin, I think he's done. And on the back end, they couldn't get off the field on third down. they got to rebuild the defense and keep Russell Wilson in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, they traded away two first-round picks for a safety last year, and yet the defense did not get much better. Meanwhile, speaking of Seattle, more from Russell Wilson. He went on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and he offered these thoughts on having more say in personnel decisions. Listen.
You know, I think that ultimately, for me personally, I think that I want to be able to be involved, because at the end of the day, it's your legacy. It's your team's legacy. It's the guys you get to go into the huddle with. And at the end of the day, those guys you got to trust.
Are you involved in personnel decisions? Have you been involved in personnel decisions?
Not as much. I don't, you know, I think that,
do you want to be involved, Russ?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps to be involved more. But I think that dialogue should happen more often, in my opinion.
You know, it really does feel like a new era in the National Football League, doesn't it? And we talked about Russell earlier in a different context, but this, I think, is a bigger picture topic. Dan Graziano, I have people, it feels to me, like are saying constantly, the NFL is turning into the NBA with the way the stars are taking so much control over what happens in their careers and for their teams. Is that an accurate way of summing up the situation in football right now?
Yeah, I think it's a simplified way of doing it, but it is accurate to some degree. Look, I mean, you have guys that have forced their way out of situations they didn't like via trade. You have Deshaun Watson trying to do it now at the highest level in terms of a quarterback, but the more it happens, I mean, these guys watch the NBA and follow the NBA, and they say to themselves, why not? If James Harden can do it, then why can't I? And so I think it will continue. The owners obviously hate it and hope that it doesn't continue down this path. But the players, especially the ones that are high profile and make a lot of money, feel like they have leverage. And they are right to an extent that their predecessors really never understood or at least activated.
Or at least never really had the leverage or clout or ability to do. I think that's an important part of this. And so that is why I really wanted to talk to Dominique about this, not only as a former player, but in your capacity, having been the president of the NFL Players Association. I know how strongly you feel about players being able to take control of their situations. I get that part of it. But let's not deal in that. Let's deal in whether in the big picture it is good or bad for the sport that these sort of things happen. Can you remove the player's hat and answer that question independently?
I mean, I obviously have some biases, and it's hard for me to remove those biases, but I'll do the best I can. I think that if the owners have a problem with it, it's because it puts pressure on them. And that pressure is only going to make them better. Like, I don't understand how the product gets worse if someone is holding you accountable. That's something that always makes things better. So if you're mad that your quarterback wants to leave or your star player wants to leave, don't look at them and call them disloyal or be upset about not being able to control it. Look at yourself and ask the question, why am I failing here? What about me? What about this place is so bad that I can pay this person hundreds of millions of dollars and they're like, know what? Keep it. I need to get out of here. So that's the first way that it makes it better. And the other way that I think that it makes it better is something that you brought up, Greeny. This is not basketball. Basketball is positionless in a way that it allows you to stockpile superstars. There's only one quarterback. Nobody is going to go be a backup quarterback because they want to play because Russell wants to play with Aaron Rodgers. Like, it'll never happen. And I think it adds to the intrigue of the offseason. It makes it exciting. And we saw something similar to that, I guess, take place down in Tampa Bay. When Tom Brady went there, the available stars, they weren't superstars, but the available stars that were out there wanted to go there. And who can say that what happened this year was bad for football? I think it's crazy.
Right. The most important point I would agree with, it doesn't compromise competitive balance as it has in basketball, and that's a problem. RC, ultimately, is it good or bad for the sport?
I think it's good. If you're a Los Angeles Rams fan, are you excited that you have Jalen Ramsey? If you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, are you excited that you have Jamal Adams? You absolutely are. And if you're the team that gets Deshaun Watson, are you not going to throw a party? And if you have somewhere to put a boat parade, do that as well. You absolutely are. Like, this game is now different, but it's not basketball. You know, basketball is like, hey, I'm AD. I'm tired of being in New Orleans. It ain't really for me. I want to go to L.A. You know, Jalen Ramsey's in a situation where he sat in front of people and they demeaned him and they made him feel inferior. Jamal Adams is in a situation in New York Well, hell, Greeny, I ain't got to explain New York to you. You know exactly what it is. And then you look at Deshaun Watson and what he's dealing with the Houston Texans. Russell Wilson isn't saying that he wants to leave. He isn't saying that he's demanding anything. He just said, you know what, that dialogue would be nice. And I agree. There were countless times Coach Tomlin didn't necessarily include me in personnel decisions, but he said, hey, RC, when you were playing so-and-so, how did you feel about him? When you've watched this defensive player on film, is he a Pittsburgh Steeler? Is this a guy that you'd like to play with? And I think that's all Russell Wilson is asking for. Russell Westbrook has a saying, and it's why not Russ? I think now Russell Wilson is saying, why not Russ?
It's a very interesting
news right now. I didn't know that you were the part-time GM while also being a superstar safety. Oh, I didn't know that. Congratulations, Bowl champion executive.
Here's one thing, Neek, that I want to come back to later in the show. And that is, I say this as the father of a teenage sports fan. In basketball, he doesn't have a team. The one thing that he doesn't have that I had growing up, that we all had growing up, he doesn't have a team that I can see Graziano nodding. He doesn't have a team that he roots for. He roots for individual players. And football has never been that way. And I wonder if that's what we're about to come to. Very quickly, Mike Tannenbaum, I didn't get you in here. Let me get a quick thought from you.
Well, there's a time and place to get input from players. So when we had coaching searches, I asked Chad Pennington, I asked Ryan Tannehill to meet with candidates. They appreciated it, but I made it very clear they weren't making the decision, but we wanted to hear their feedback. When we traded for Brett Favre, we got his input on a couple players, and in a respectful way, we either acted on it or didn't. It's a really fine line, but with certain players, you're going to get the most out of them when they feel that they're part of the process, but they have to understand they may have input, but they're not making the decision.
Okay, there's a lot more about this that I want to get to, and we will later in the program. But with Neek being with us today, we need to get to this. The Dallas Cowboys created a bit of an off-season controversy this week after releasing a hype video for the upcoming season that features former Cowboy legends. You're seeing it right here. You got Troy, you got Emmett, you got a whole bunch of current players, some of their current stars, some who I actually had to look up by their number to see who they are. Prominently not featured in this video is Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the football team. And if you think he didn't notice, well, we can tell you his brother most certainly did. His brother, Tad, friend of the show, went on Twitter and quote tweeted a story about this with that emoji. So we talked about this yesterday, but we did not get the perspective of the of Dominique Foxworth, whose face is worth a thousand words. Neek, your reaction.
All right, I'm going to try to stay calm because this makes me very angry. So first of all, I'm not going to assume that Jerry Jones gets sign off on these type of hype videos. So I'm not going to extrapolate a whole bunch of other narrative out of this. But we cannot in no way look at this as anything other than a slight and disrespect. I'm sure that plenty of people saw this, and I think that they're potentially is an aura around the organization that does not value him as much as they should. And I absolutely do not understand why. Like, let me do this for you. This is an easy hype video to make. You know what you do? You start at some sneakers. Or no, you start at some cleats. And then you pan slowly up. And you just let the beat play. Guess who's been Zach's playing in the background? You bring it all the way up, and then you lock it on the silhouette of a man. And then light comes on, and it says, guess who's Dak? Cowboys 2021. That's the video. He is your team. He is the only reason why you've been respectable up until this point. That is very simple. You do that, the only other option of a video is maybe you have Dak throwing the ball and the ball is actually Dak's head to another guy who looks like Dak catching the ball, and then there's some people kick sliding with Dak heads on them blocking it, and then I want the camera to go in on the middle of the field where the star is, and it, no, not a star. It's Dak Prescott's face. And you go straight and you zoom until you get to Dak's eye, and then you go into his eye, and inside his eye is another damn Dak Prescott. And you keep doing that for a loop of 35 minutes because he is the only man in the entire organization who freaking matters. And I'm so happy I said freaking right there, because I promise you, Michael Robinette Greenberg, that something else almost came out.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to let RC respond and get Graziano's thoughts as we continue. But that was exactly what we needed to hear. Meantime, I can tell you what we have coming up. What a lineup Saturday night. We got Carolina and Virginia playing basketball at 6 o'clock Eastern time. That's followed by KD, Kyrie, and Harden. The Nets taking on Steph and the Warriors. That's 8 Eastern on ABC. And then ESPN Plus pay-per-view, 10 Eastern. It's the UFC 258 main card. You don't want to miss it. It's all Saturday, and that's the lineup. Meanwhile, coming up here, the Bucks dominated the Super Bowl on both sides of the ball. We have unsolicited advice that could change the way teams are put together in the NFL. That's on the way. Neek is just bringing himself back. Serenity now. Back in a flash.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back on Get Up, and Dominique has put together five plays from the playoffs we can never forget, and he has named them. I like this. You've got the names, so I will read the names of each of these plays, and then you will tell us what they are. All right, the first play is called Appreciate You, Miss Lisa.
Oh, man, this game was phenomenal. Lamar Jackson finally got that playoff win. I said finally, like he's been around forever. The young Lamar Jackson got that playoff win in part because of this fantastic play. But the name is not in reference to the play as much as in reference to the post-game interview, which was fantastic. I encourage you to get on YouTube and watch that, because at the end, he hits Miss Lisa with a thank you. Miss Lisa had to put him in his place early in that conversation, too. So I love Lamar Jackson on the field and off.
All right, the next play is called Sorry, Mr. Jackson. What was this one?
Ooh, and I am for real. Yeah, this one hurts. I hate to go from a positive Lamar to a negative Lamar, but Teron Johnson right here made, in my view, the biggest play of the entire playoffs. Like, this swung that game. The Ravens were knocking on the door, ready to tie the game. Lamar was starting to feel it. He missed the touchdown pass just before that. And then this swing of 14-point swing right here, it ended this game. It was incredible.
No question. All right, the next one, and this obviously is a play on some history, the Immaculate Misconception. What was this?
Oh, yeah, I'm old enough to know about the Immaculate Reception, but this was entirely different. You remember coming into this game, Juju said, the Browns is the Browns. That was a misconception, and boy, was it immaculate at the beginning of this game. Immaculately terrible for the Steelers and great for the Browns. They dominated this game. They had some luck. But from the opening snap, this game was over by the end of the first quarter.
That's exactly right, and it was the Steelers. All right, the next one is called Knuck If You Buck.
Oh, yeah, enough is enough, Mike. So this play is fantastic. Look at that punch. Catch those knuckles if you want to. The Bucks defense carried them throughout this playoffs because plays like this. Devin White said, this is my Mickey Ficky house. He said it every week. Athleticism and speed to catch that ball, and then stiff arm? Who needs a stiff arm? How about a hook?
That was good. And then there's one more, and this one is called Uoino Baby D. Tell us about this one, Nate.
I don't even care about the play anymore. I just love that. So it's, you don't even know, right? It's one word. It's a bunch of words turned into one.
Oh.
It is not Uonio, which I guess is like the eighth day of Kwanzaa, maybe. I don't know. But this was DK Metcalf balling out all season long, doing it in the playoffs. He wears a pacifier, or he has a pacifier in the game. So sometimes you think of him like a baby, but he is a grown man, and you don't even know Baby D. Baby D be balling. Baby D can do it all.
I'm sorry to ask, but can you just pronounce that one word for me? How should I have said that?
You don't even know.
You don't even know.
There it is. I mean, I'm not from New Orleans. I can't hit it like RC hit it.
You don't even know.
There it is, Greeny. Give it a shot. Give it a shot, Greeny.
Yes, no, I think the more times I try to say it, the worse this is going to be for all of us. Let's just leave it there. I appreciate and agree with the five plays. Meanwhile, it is time on this program for unsolicited advice, which usually is something that I offer to someone who desperately needs it. But today, I'm going to yield my time to my colleague and friend from the state of Florida, because after the Super Bowl, Mike Tannenbaum tweeted this: if the NFL hiring process started today, as many had suggested, how in demand would Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich be? And I talked about this on my radio show yesterday, Mike. It does seem as though all these coaching jobs get filled up before the most important games are played. So I'm yielding my unsolicited advice time to you. How should this go?
Well, hopefully I can keep your standards up. We hire out of convenience in the NFL. And I know because I've been there. When we hired Rex Ryan going back to 2009, Greeny, we were actually rooting against him because we wanted to get him in the seat as quickly as possible. And they're playing the Steelers in the playoffs. The cycle should start 9 a.m. Monday morning after the Super Bowl. And any team that violates this rule, they lose three first-round picks. And what that will do is that will equal the playing field. It's certainly going to help with minority candidates. This is a great example when Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles would be unbelievably in demand if the searches started this week, and it would be better for our sport, taking nothing away from Brandon Staley, David Culley. They were the best available coaches. We want to hire the best coaches possible. So if we started Monday morning after the Super Bowl, just imagine the platform that Coach Bowles, Coach Leftwich would have because of their performance the other night. It would help minority hiring, and we would have the right coaches in the right seats.
I'd like it because it feels to me it's counterintuitive that a coach in this case is being, punished is the wrong word, but it is a disadvantage the further his team goes in the playoffs to his possibilities of getting a job. It also shouldn't be a disadvantage for the teams that make it deep in the playoffs to have their offseason start later than everyone else's offseasons. So I like it. Dominique Foxworth, to you.
Out, but I know what I want to say anyway. Like, I love the intent right here from Tannenbaum. However, like, I think I watched the game too, and I don't know what happened, what sort of racial reckoning we had, where we are in some sort of post-racial America after what happened in that football game. But I think Mike, at least for the minority hiring situation, I think you misunderstand the problem. The problem isn't the timing. The problem is the biases that so many who run organizations have. I don't think that the issue with minority hiring is that they don't get enough time or their teams go too deep in the playoffs to get a fair opportunity. The issue is that when people look at them, they don't see leaders. So that's the problem. Unless something happened that I missed or something goes on that everyone's just so high off the Super Bowl that they forget that they're racist, I don't see that this having any impact on minority hiring necessarily. I wish that it was as simple as changing the date. Then we could fix a lot of things if we just pushed them back a few months. So I appreciate the sentiment, but I think it comes from, like, your personal experience. And from my experience, from outside looking in and watching this and just my experience in life, that the issue is not the timeline as much as the issue is biases.
Go ahead, Mike. I'll let you respond before I give a thought on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's a really fair point, Neek, that you're making. And I'm trying to be much more fundamental, which is if we equal the playing field, and it's really almost thinking about once the season ends, the first month is coaching free agency. And the goal of it is by equaling the playing field, then hopefully more minorities will have an opportunity, because in this case, Coach Bieniemy, Bowles, Leftwich would all have much greater opportunities, because when they're available to sign and hire staffs, that's only going to increase their chances of getting jobs. So that was my point of it, which was it's a leveling the playing field, it's fairness. And then from a big picture macro standpoint, from the NFL, you want to have the best coaches in the seats, and this will give the best coaches from the best teams that opportunity.
Yeah, and Nick, the way I looked at it, the tweet didn't even address the overwhelming issue of minority coaches not getting opportunities. To me, it is just simply a matter of, why would we be choosing our next head coaches before the most important games are being played, regardless of any other circumstance? In this case, it would have been Byron Leftwich, I think, who's a name that I didn't even hear during the hiring cycle, who might be getting an opportunity. But I think those two didn't go together necessarily in my mind, and I understand the point you're making. I don't know that it would address that one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that systemic racism cut my earpiece out because I didn't hear anything that you said up until this point. But I did. I was able to read Mike Tannenbaum's lips, and I think he said equal to playing field. And this ain't going equal to playing field, Mike. That's all I got for you. I'm sorry, Mike.
Okay, we'll leave it there. One way or another, we'll take a short break. We'll have much more on this as we continue. Coming up, I want to mention that history could be made in the NFL draft. We'll talk about how quarterbacks will dominate and where each will be playing next season. That is on the way here on Get Up as Todd McShay has released his mock draft. And we have four quarterbacks at the very top. We'll show you who they are, what order they're going in, and how likely it is that that is what the draft looks like as we continue next on ESPN.